It's All-Star Week in the NHL. Players are jet-setting, putting their feet up, drinking mojitos. We're here.
Do you think they're drinking mojitos?
Well, beer, mojitos, yeah. Vodka waters.
Something.
I don't know.
Something.
Hopefully they're drinking vodka waters because they don't want to put on the LBs on vacay, right?
Yeah, mixing in a little water.
You have to mix in the waters. Yeah. That's why you put it into the drink.
Exactly.
Double the effect, right?
It's just smart. They're professional athletes. They know their bodies.
Wait. Hold that thought. Are you saying that there's a method to the madness for a professional athlete?
Listen, I bet sports science groups on
drinking
a team.
Drinking strategies?
They probably would give out a little pamphlet. If you're going to drink, make sure to do it this way to minimize the long-term effects of a week off of work and limited physical exertion.
Interesting. Welcome to the Puck Culture Podcast, Jackie Redmond and Mike Johnson. We were going to start with all-star topics, but I'm actually going to dive a little further down this road of strategized beverage drinking,
right?
I guess we'll call
strategizing
it.
Strategizing consumption?
What would like the three rules? As a former player who may or may not have dabbled in the occasional party.
Right.
During, of course, the off season, or
may or may not have, yeah.
Yeah. What would the three rules for a professional athlete be? Like, what are the three keys to
mix in a water?
Okay. Like, so like in between each drink?
Yeah, exactly. Whether it's a 1-to-1 or 5-to-1 ratio, whatever works for you.
But
you
we're gotta, all different.
Everyone's got their own patterns, but you got to mix in a water so that you're not completely buckled the next morning. I think make sure to eat something.
Yep.
Because important. Just before you get her going, because that can also limit some of the effects.
Yep.
And the most important thing is you have to wake up and do something the next morning.
So go to the gym early, sweat it out.
Whether it's an executive at the steamer and sauna and a hot tub and a massage, ideally maybe jump on the bike or something, but just get a little something going the next morning so
that's
you don't
so
just
funny.
Laze in bed till noon, wake up and go all over again
I
and
love that,
re-rack it.
I love that you brought up the executive workouts because Cam Atkinson was on NHL Now last week and I asked him, like, how do you not gain weight going on vacation? He's going on a family vacation, you know, I don't think it's excessive partying, but he was like, well, you know, we work out and, you know, executive workout, steam room, sauna, that sort of thing.
Get sweat going.
Yeah, I like it.
Why
though.
Not?
Yeah.
You know what? I think it's almost most players, coaches, teams are resigned to the fact that the guys will show up, the majority of the guys, and not because they're completely irresponsible or they're going crazy, but just they will show up in slightly worse shape. They will probably be a few pounds heavier.
Yeah.
And so the first couple days back, and there's not many before you jump right back into playing, is that the coaches will want to try to ramp up the fitness a little bit to try to get everyone back on track. So teams are worried about it, though. I mean,
well, how could you not be? I mean, you've got anyone, not just professional athletes, but anybody with a week off going on vacation is going to have a little fun.
Yes.
And not even just, I'm going to say, like, not even just drinking, but just indulging in
good
food.
Going to have big meals and desserts. And
yeah.
Absolutely. But the problem is for the NHL teams is that the margins are, they've never been tighter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the Pacific Division. It's like first to 18th is 2 points. No, first to fifth is 2 points.
Yeah.
So, you know, one or two good games or bad games because you return from a break not focused or slightly overweight or not, you haven't done any work and your legs aren't quite there. Like, that could be the difference.
Yeah.
And the players don't, you know that, and it matters a lot because you invest everything you have in this game. But at the same time, you're kind of lost in the moment. You're having a vacation. You're going to do what you want to do to enjoy it. And so the teams are terrified that those first couple games back that they'll have a bad game or the best players will be out of shape or, heaven forbid, like a groin pull or something like that because guys haven't been moving around the same way that they are used to. So they send you off with a not so subtle, not so passive aggressive direction to say, all right, like, I don't know if you saw the Rod Brindamore post-game speech in Carolina after their last game, and he just said, all right, guys, I know you're going away. Have fun. Rest. Do what you want. But I know you spent a lot of money on these trips. There's nice gyms at these places you're going.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to mix in a gym session. Don't be afraid to jump on the bike. Come back. We can't take a step back. And that's what they're trying to do. They're not allowed to contact you.
Yeah.
So they can't call Jackie and say, Jackie, how's vacation going?
Wow.
What are you doing?
Okay.
They can't check in and say, hey, just a reminder, maybe jump on the bike. They can't
none
track
of that.
What
no
you're doing.
No contact.
It's against the rules, let alone against, you know, politeness. It's like they're just not allowed to. So they're just putting up to the guys to know what they need and take what they have to.
Well, I'll tell you what players will not be messing around too much on vacation, probably, or at least going to be very responsible with the leash that you get when you go on vacation. The Toronto Maple Leafs. Ooh. Sheldon Keefe already called them out for being, quote, immature in Florida, and then immature again. Was it against Chicago?
Yeah, Chicago at home, yeah.
I feel like they'll probably think twice about some of their decisions on vacation.
How's that sound by heading into vacation?
I better come back to Toronto, like, same weight, maybe in better shape, like, they're ready to go.
They're all going to a CrossFit conference as a team.
They're going on one of those, like, fit life vacations.
Exactly.
You know, those, like, adventure fit vacations
you
can go
those.
On.
I don't know about
I've
those,
I've never been
obviously,
on one.
But you know about them.
I know about them.
I've
you
never,
know. You've heard of them?
I've heard of them, but
you
it's not
go
like
away to work out
why
in, like,
would I do that?
An exotic location.
I would work out at my home.
Right, but that's
that.
Like, well, yeah, that's, but, you know, doing
if
it on
I go
a beach
away,
in
I go away
Barbados
to have fun.
Would be
But yeah,
cool.
But I think Toronto, it's a good point because Sheldon Keefe, their coach, who's been quite nice to them, freeing them up, letting them play offensive hockey, letting them score lots of goals, letting guys in their hometown start and being kind of sensitive to those kind of things.
Goes to Florida day early.
He goes to Florida day early. When we travel in the NHL on the road, game on Sunday, we travel Saturday. You get in there mid-afternoon. Check in the hotel, you go out for dinner, you go home, you sleep, and you play, and you leave.
Yeah.
That's the rhythm. Sheldon Keefe says, you know what? We're going to come in Friday night.
Yeah.
2 days of advance in Florida and give the guys a little time in nice weather. And that means a dinner together, fishing trip.
Lay by the pool, maybe.
Lay by the pool,
golf.
Game of golf, whatever it might be, whatever suits your fancy. Trusting that the guys won't get distracted by 2 days in the fun in the sun. And even play harder on the Sunday game because you kind of owe it
they're feeling
for
good.
The favor. But
right.
Like, pay it back because he gave you a little carrot. And they had an awful game in Florida. He wasn't happy about that. And then a week later, Toronto's last game before the bye. And understandably, they have trips planned. They have,
yeah.
they have plans made. They're asked about it. They sound pretty fun, what some of the guys are doing, including going to play in Augusta. Freddie Anderson, Jake Muzzin, Kapanen, and Nylander, a trip of a lifetime.
Yeah.
So, of course, they're excited about those things, but maturity means you got to focus on your job, which is to play well, and then worry about the trip, and they had a pretty bad game against Chicago as well. So, yeah, those are pretty strong words. They're not swear words. They're not loud.
Yeah.
But they resonate for the team, and I think they are probably appropriately used by Sheldon Keefe because those were a couple instances where Toronto did show a lack of professional maturity, not personal maturity, but professional maturity in their preparation.
In a way, I almost think this could end up being a positive thing for the Leafs because I think
spin doctor right now.
Spin zone, hashtag spin zone.
Yeah.
No, only because Sheldon Keefe, right, new coach to this team, hasn't been there for the full season, is getting to know this team as it goes. And I think that was a big learning moment, a big key learning for Sheldon Keefe with what his team is, what they can handle, what they can't handle, that sort of thing. So maybe in the long run, it's, what do you mean? Knowledge is power.
Yeah, but how many more trips?
Knowledge, he's not going to give them the two of them
He was
anymore.
Never going to give them any more anyways.
You don't know that.
I do know that because I know how teams work.
I don't know.
You don't get them down the stretch. You get them early and you get them when you ask for them. There's got to be one for a rookie meal and one for a carrot. You don't get them in the last 20 games.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying in the stretch to fight for a playoff spot they're going to get like 3 days off. I'm just saying that I think
I'm not worried
learned
about years from now. I'm talking about the rest of this year. So he may have learned that, but I don't think he's going to alter his course.
I think he learned about the culture of his team, where they're at in terms of their knowledge of what it's going to take to actually win.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
I
in that,
that
sense.
I think he learned that.
But what do you do with that information, Jackie? You're the coach. You're Sheldon Keefe. What
well,
do you do with that information?
I don't
you
know. I wish I knew the answer because I could be making more money.
But, get you behind the bench.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess we'll see how it plays out. And it'll be interesting to see the Leafs' first game after the break and how they come out in that game.
So I'm from Toronto. I live there. So I can see like they come back and they play awesome. Which would be like, okay, message received. They're so pro. They've turned the corner. Which would be fun.
Yeah.
But also, if you're Team Chaos, if they come back and play terribly.
If you're Team Chaos.
Then it's just all hell breaking loose. These guys don't know what it's like. They're all overpaid and irresponsible and spoiled little kids. And
that is the swing of Toronto
hockey coverage. That's how it goes when you play in Toronto, yeah.
That's for sure. But not the entire league going on vacation this weekend. Some of the biggest stars in the league headed to St. Louis. We're headed to St. Louis. And a couple of new things going on this year. Mm-hmm. And I am super pumped, like, about this 3-on-3 Team Canada, Team USA women's competition. Now, some of these girls have come out and said, oh, yeah, All-Star is supposed to be fun. Everybody kind of relaxes. It's this, it's that. They're saying that this three-on-three is not going to be like that, that it's going to be highly competitive and passionate hockey. Do you buy it?
Yep. Because you've ever been around the women on the American team and on the Canadian team. Well, they are absolute colleagues, and they are the best of the best. That rivalry is so fierce and so ingrained, they can't get away from it. The only way they could get away from it is if they blended the teams and had Americans playing with Canadians. But as soon as you went Team America against Team Canada.
Pride on the line, baby.
That's it. That's it. That's all it takes. It doesn't matter if you put them on an all-star game in 3-on-3. You can put an outdoor rink playing some shinny. Put the U.S. against Canada with the women, and it is
vicious.
Fierce. So
I can't wait.
That alone would be enough to spur them on to have by far the most intense hockey we'll see on the weekend. Couple the fact that, you know, it's a big stage. It's a big platform. And I think they're going to want to put their best foot forward like Kendall Coyne did last year. Probably the highlight of the entire weekend was her ripping around the ice faster than some of the guys. They're going to want to put on a good show, which will mean playing it straight up. Show how good they are, why it's fun to watch, not only for the guys around, not only for the young women in attendance, but for the men in attendance and for the sponsors. I mean, the hockey world will be in St. Louis. We shouldn't need a reminder of how great that hockey is.
Yeah.
If you do, it'll be there. They'll put on a good show.
Yeah, it's at the end of the day, they're going to showcase their product, which, you know, could go a long way for them. So it's going to be fun to watch.
And they're in a significant time in women's hockey, trying to sort out exactly a professional league and how it's going to work. And there's been big strides in the WNBA and new CBA in there. So lots of stuff going on off the ice, which all starts with being a good product on the ice. And so do I need to see the stick handling event? It's fun. I know kids love it. I'll be far more interested in watching the American and Canadian women's play 3-on-3 than watching. I want to watch the men's fastest skater.
Yep.
The hardest shot. But beyond that, I want to watch the women's 3-on-3 for sure.
Yeah, that's top of my list. Yeah. Top of my list. I'm also intrigued by this Shooting Stars competition. Mm-hmm. If you're not familiar with it, they're going to have some players shoot from the stance. And we saw, I believe it was Crosby and Malkin last year that had a little friendly competition of that nature. And it was fun to watch.
Yeah.
A couple of the women are going to be involved in that as well. It's going to be a fan vote, I believe, one from each team. So I'm curious to see how that goes because it's so different than what we're used to seeing at NHL All-Star.
Now, I don't know how the setup's going to be. I think I read that the net that usually goes up behind the glass is going to go over top of the fans so that they can, because they'll be shooting pucks over people's heads.
Right.
And so you want to protect them. But so you'll be basically shooting it from the concourse or from one of the walkways and then like down to some target, presumably a net on the ice.
Yes.
So it will be great because they'll hit it and it'll look awesome, or it'll be great because they won't be able to and pucks will be flying all over the place and hitting the scoreboard and everything else.
That's the best thing about experiments.
Yeah, exactly. Team chaos.
Yes.
It could go either way, but it will be fun, something different. And I respect, because it's not for everyone, trying new things.
Mm-hmm.
So I respect the NHL for kind of thinking outside the box and maybe is it Dude Perfect? Is that what that thing's called? Where they do these crazy long distance basketball shots and hockey shots. Tyler Seguin's done some before with them. You know, trying to try something new, but also credit to the athletes that'll step in there and do it because it could go wrong. You might not be able to score. You might fan on your saucer pass and look like a fool, but they're still putting themselves out there to try to put on a good show, which I respect.
One of my favorite comments from a couple of years ago at All-Star Weekend in Tampa was Tyler Seguin admitting to me on the red carpet that, like, he actually gets nervous for All-Star Weekend. He's like, listen, I'm supposed to be good at this game.
Yes.
So, yes, I'm nervous. He goes, I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit nervous because I'm a professional athlete.
It's out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
You ask him to go play a game at All-Star Weekend. He's not nervous about the 3-on-3. He's in the shootout or the target shooting because you're supposed to be excellent. And
I
never made an All-Star game. But when I played for the Toronto Maple Leafs, we had our team All-Star contest.
Right.
And I'd never in my life attempted to hit the targets, like on the ice. I never had been on an ice where they had them up. So I go at Maple Leaf Gardens my rookie year, and I'm supposed to be good, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
And sold out, 17,000 people there, and we have 8 pucks to hit 4 targets. So I start, and I am fully nervous, completely nervous about the prospect of going over.
Yes.
First puck, crossbar, miss. Second puck, crossbar. Four crossbars in a row, no targets.
Oh, my gosh.
And the crowd went from, hey, here's Mike Johnson, rookie's leading scorer, Toronto Maple Leafs, to boo in the span of like 8 seconds.
Oh my gosh, you got the Matt Murray
treatment. I got the Bronx like, ooh. And then I think I hit the last two shots to get 2 out of 8. Oh. But it felt like an hour, but it was like, a traumatic 30 seconds.
You were
seconds.
Just like, get me out of here.
I was like, just get out of here. So I can appreciate being nervous, trying to do something that's slightly out of your comfort zone.
Oh my gosh, that is too funny.
That I'm tape just imagining,
because I know how competitive you are. Like, I could just imagine
I'm
you
way
in
better
that
now.
Moment.
I, All-Star game in LA, I went 4 for 5, like nothing on
Listen,
tape.
I saw you blindfolded hit 3 or 4
There you
targets.
Go. But when it mattered most, when I was supposed to be good, I came up woefully short. I was terrible.
You let your nerves get the better of you. That's what happened. But you know what? It's interesting because, you know, we've got the Carolina Hurricanes with their whole celebration, their storm surge. Mm-hmm. And last year, you know, fans in Carolina, they love it. Mm-hmm. And I personally have been Team Selly the entire time.
Yep.
But it is interesting because every single person on that team does not have the same personality. No. Not everybody is, you know, Alex Ovechkin, I love attention type player, right? So to get out there and have to do some of these storm surge celebrations can't be easy for some of these guys.
Nope. Like some guys don't want to do a conga line post game.
Yeah.
Some guys don't.
I love that you went with the conga line as your first example.
Some guys don't want to
do
trick-or-treating.
The first time, because I was like, I was fiercely, what's your problem? Let them have some fun. It's great.
But can't
it's great,
you
it's
be
great.
Both?
But then, here's my point. Then when I saw the fishing and the guys flopping around on the ice, mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, that's embarrassing.
Right. Well, not everyone hits. But
imagine if you're the person that's like, hey, your role in this is going to be flopping around like a fish out of water. I'd be like, I'd rather be healthy scratched. See you later.
Sorry, I'm going to put my groin at the end of the game, and I will see you in the room. But I see.
Listen, Rod, I can't do this.
And so
bench me.
I don't want to come across the wrong way as a Debbie Downer. So I am firmly of the belief that it's great. Fans love it. I tune in at the end of games. Like, yeah. I don't always watch Carolina games, but I see a 2-1 lead.
You want to go
home,
see it.
I'll flip to the channel to watch the end of the game.
Yeah.
There is, and I think you don't have to take yourself too seriously. The fans love it. It's great for the game, great for the market. I believe that still, even though some of them are flops. We can go through some that we love, some that we didn't. Basketball, pick and roll, Dougie Hamilton, awesome. Evander, Holyfield,
Stop
knockout.
It.
Not so much for me. For me.
I can't believe you didn't like that one.
Just because you got a famous person out there doesn't mean it works.
It worked for, I'm going to say, if we were to poll like 100 people, Family Feud style,
yeah.
I think it'd be
Top
over
answer.
90%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It would be the number one. Most people would say they loved it.
Okay. Well, I might be different. But so I believe as a non-player, it's excellent. All of it. I have no complaints whatsoever, even though some of them might be cringeworthy at times.
Right.
But as a player, if I played, I would have the personality where I would probably not want to. I would do it because I'm supposed
You're
to, but
team,
I wouldn't
yeah.
be loving being out there all the time doing those things.
Just
not my personality.
Just bring you back to your Leafs All-Star experience.
I would screw up on the dodgeball game. And I don't mind celebrating, but it just, maybe I'm just lower key than it takes to really immerse
fair.
Yourself in that moment.
That's fair. Not everybody has that
now,
personality.
Post-game of a series win in the playoffs, like, yeah, I want to climb the glass. Like I'm all over it. But, you know, mid-January on a Tuesday night and a 5-1 win, I'm probably not feeling a orchestrated, I'm not criticizing the people that do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying I would probably be the guy be like, I'm probably not going to be coming up with the major ideas and starring
right.
in many of those moments.
Yeah, you're not Martinook taking the
I'm
punch
I'm not
from
taking
Holyfield.
The left hook and yeah. going down as OIBKO.
See, I actually had the thought that, like, people probably fought over that spot.
See, like I would
I wanna be.
I would take the storyline, like, okay, I'm going to duck it, and I'm going to punch him back. Just see what happens. Is it slippery? Maybe I can knock him down on the ice.
And
wouldn't that
huge,
be something?
This huge moment in front of all yeah. the fans of Carolina, Mike yeah. Johnson just turns heel
yes.
on Evander Holyfield
yes.
and is like, take that.
Every storyline needs a heel. You know this. You watch wrestling.
Listen, wrestling. Yeah. I know all about heels and heroes and all that stuff.
I looked at your shoes when you said heels.
Oh, did there, you? Yeah. I missed it. I'm sorry. In case you didn't hear, we're in a new decade.
Oh, we are.
And we've been crowning, you know, coach of the decade, team
yes.
of the decade, goal of the decade.
Best of the decades.
Patrick Kane's OT winner was named the goal of the decade. Agree or disagree?
Did we just figure out that it went in now? Is that why we're voting for it?
The one against, well, yeah, I mean, that's actually touche, sir.
Yeah.
But that's the one. That's the how everybody knows it. What, the one where no one knew it went in? Yes.
Except
that's
for him.
The one, except for Patrick Kane. That wins. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, the purist, I mean, I appreciate the moment.
And well, it that's was big the for philosophy, Chicago. Like, right?
Am I talking about
a moment or are we talking about the
significant goal?
Yeah.
Right, because it's not the sickest. It was a shot from the boards that dribbled five hole on Michael Leighton.
Nobody knew it went in. That tells you that it wasn't exactly the prettiest goal.
But when you start thinking about, you know, what it launched in the Chicago mini dynasty and their great run, and Patrick Kane just had 1,000 points in his Hall of Fame career and all those things, I get the significance of it and the fact that it played out very strangely. It made it memorable. Like, there was another overtime goal that won a Stanley Cup. Can you remember it right off the bat?
Was it Martinez?
Well, it's your job to remember it, but it might not come so quickly to everyone's mind.
I would have known that if I was an accountant somewhere.
You would have, yes.
Thank God I'm not an accountant, for the record. You've seen my
math. You're not doing my taxes anytime soon, no. But like, that goal was probably as big of a goal and you know, monumental stop in Rangers and Henrik Lundqvist and everything else, winning LA a cup. But because of the awkward, is it in, kind of muted celebration, what's happening, and the guys are off the bench trying to celebrate, but they're kind of looking back down.
Are we sure?
Are they pointing? Yeah. Should I still go crazy? Can I throw my gloves into the stands?
Awkward.
Am I going to need them in 20 seconds because it didn't go in? So, you can make that case. I would pick, you know, a fancier goal, like a better...
Like just a prettier goal.
Like a more difficult to execute goal.
Right.
Take any one of the many that we... Matthew Tkachuk's from this
year. I was just going to say, between the legs,
whatever. Yeah. Not the leg goals from Svechnikov, but like the Tkachuk one from way out on, like, that's a better goal. But I understand why they would pick that one. So I can't really argue too much. As much as I like to argue, I can't argue too much with that.
Wow,
decision.
You don't say that very often. That's,
I know, it
that's
does
a
come
rarity
naturally to
for
me.
You.
Yes.
But I like the Kane OT winner as the pick, just because it was such a crazy moment. But that's the difference in philosophy. Are we talking, you know, moment or skill? But I have thoughts on the team of the decade.
Okay.
And it was given to the Chicago Blackhawks.
Right.
I get it. Three Stanley Cups.
So should we just call it the team that won the most cups? Like, is that all we define
it?
Clearly.
So you're with me on this.
Well, I don't think that should be the sole definition.
Here's my thing. It's the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Okay.
It's the Pittsburgh Penguins because they won, two Stanley Cups.
Mm-hmm.
They won them back-to-back, which rarely happens. It was the first time in, two decades that had happened?
96, 97.
Right, the Red Wings.
Yeah.
And they've been consistently good the entire, or they were, it's in a new decade now, they were consistently good the entire decade. Whereas the last couple of years, the Hawks have fallen off.
Ooh, okay.
Same with the Kings, because you could argue the Kings too if you wanted to.
Yeah, but the fact that they didn't sustain the entire decade.
Exactly, that's my point. But the Capitals are interesting because they have been good.
Were they the, I don't even know. Research,
I think they had the most wins.
Do they have the highest winning percentage of the decade?
I think they had the most wins.
Yeah.
Regular season.
Yeah. So, Pittsburgh's a compelling case. And combined with Chicago, if you think of the game of hockey, the NHL, the Winter Classics, the marquee moments, Pittsburgh has been kind of a staple in all of those, as well as Chicago.
Yeah.
So they would warrant consideration. I got you. I mean, do you give them any kind of bonus because they won right before the decade started as well? So they led into the decade on a high. Yeah.
It's the Penguins.
The
more I think about it, it is the Pittsburgh Penguins.
But what makes Chicago unique to me and why I like that they've been the team of the decade, or organization, we probably should call them, is that for Pittsburgh, Malkin, Crosby, Letang have been there throughout, and other kind of interchangeable parts.
Right.
But what I like about Chicago is that they had their core five or six guys.
Yep.
Keith, Seabrook, Kane, Taves, Hossa, Sharp, Jalmerson lasted a long time. They rotated through the goaltenders. But those seven guys were the guys. And there were a lot of them. You know, you get, you know, almost half your team kind of stuck. And then the fact that they had to change everyone else three times over every time they won.
It's impressive.
Made it very interesting that they, like, the dynamic of having this core, which was so tight and so together and instrumental in everything they were doing, but then just jettisoning everyone else after each cup win because they couldn't afford them all anymore. I think in the new era and salary cap and management and all that, it almost makes them uniquely reflective of what the challenges are of being a team of the decade, because you got to have to identify your good players, but also change out your other really good players, but not quite as good as the good ones.
Yeah.
So the fact that they kind of kept those important players all together for the entire time, and there's more of them than just probably Crosby, Malkin, Letang.
Fair enough.
I see Chicago.
You know what's impressive about both of those teams? That they won their cups with different goaltenders.
Yes.
We talk about the importance of the goaltending position, right? And it is obviously important. But I think it's impressive that two separate teams were able to win with different goaltenders. But maybe that just tells you how good the team in front is.
Pretty sure Antti Niemi won with Chicago.
He did. Yeah. The first one, right?
The first one. So Corey Crawford for the second couple. But
man, being a goaltender in Pittsburgh is tough, eh?
Tough
like
sledding.
You win a cup and then it's like, oh, this guy's better than you now. See ya, Fleury, kicked out the door. Then a couple years later, now Matt Murray's going through not the exact same thing, but a similar situation in that Tristan Jarry has shown up as this number one guy this year, better numbers for a long stretch. And now Matt Murray, who's won cups for Pittsburgh and their fan base, is getting booed.
But if you're Matt Murray, how can you complain? Like, you punted a Hall of Famer out of the net. Not about getting booed stuff, but like you.
Right, but it's like
you usurped a guy who was playing okay and is going to be a Hall of Famer and who has won a cup. And you're like, I'm the new guy. Out you go. And didn't Marc-Andre Fleury handle that very gracefully?
Oh yeah, big time.
And supportively, despite being a hyper competitive guy and wanting to play. And then Tristan Jarry has effectively done the same thing to Matt Murray, who had a little blip in his game. Jarry comes in and plays great. And so what's Matt Murray going to say? How dare you do that? Oh, wait a second.
This is life.
I did that.
Life is coming around.
Can I have the circle of life with like Simba right now?
Yes. It trips me out when that happens. The title of this podcast is Puck Culture. And this next topic, I think, impacts the culture of the game of hockey in a major way. The Sharks are going to implement personalized player goal songs. So Tomáš Hertl scores a goal. Yeah. He's got a specific song that's going to play.
Okay, so I don't want a Big Daddy the Sharks PR department.
Big Daddy.
I forwarded this idea 12 years ago when you couldn't stream music yet. You actually bought CDs. And my idea was every player on the team gets his goal song. Then you sell your team goal song CD and give the money to charity.
Oh, that's smart. That's a good way to do it.
And it would be great because you could show off some of your personality.
Yeah.
And it would be funny because, so Jackie is the star on our team. You score all the time. We know that every time you score, it plays. What are you playing?
I don't know.
Give it to me. I'm putting you on the spot. What are you playing?
I don't know. You're putting me on the spot big time. Let me think about it.
I'm playing host tonight.
Finish your point. Now let me think about
this. And then, you know, down the line until I score, and I never score because I'm not very good.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a thing. Like, what could his goal song be? It's like it's a running gag into February because no one's ever heard it before. So I had this on the docket 10 years ago.
What's Charlie McAvoy's goal song? Nobody knows.
Right.
I'm kidding.
Victor Mete, 2 years he would have gone without hearing it.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I had this on the docket a decade ago because I thought it'd be a great idea to show some personality and then maybe raise some money for charity. Now, we can't do that anymore because you'd have to stream. You could maybe download the streamable list. But I still like the idea to show off a little personality and have it become a thing. And so it will be a little talking point, and you can play it the next day on the radio station or whatever it is and download it right away.
Look at Gloria last year, just for the St. Louis Blues as a team. I mean, that song took over St. Louis.
But you'd want to make it, but guys would take it, and you'd have to commit to my way to doing it, one song for the year. You don't get to change after a month because something else came out or, like, it's like, that's
it. Or you're
it.
Superstitious.
You're the guy. It's the song. No changes.
Here's my only thing with it. And I do like the idea because for a long time, right, in media, we always ask people, if you had a walk-up song like in baseball, what would it be? People love that question. And I get it. But it's a completely different situation. Like, when a batter's walking up to the plate, it's a few seconds. It's just getting in the groove before you take your at-bat. For hockey, we're talking about goal songs. Like, something great has just happened. You've just scored a goal.
Yeah.
Imagine if, you know, it's a tightly contested hockey game down the stretch of the playoffs, two teams fighting for the final wild card spot, and in the final minute, you know, someone scores to make it 3-2 and then plays like Justin Bieber, Yummy. Like, I'm mad. I'm like, this is not the song I want to hear when favorite team. Justin Bieber's a bad example.
No,
but
because whoever chose whatever song that does it, you're like, you're pumped to hear it because you knew it was coming. And the fact that you're getting to hear your own team's
Nickelback
song. Who cares? You remind me. Why wouldn't you? all day long. I want to be a rock star.
That's not like an
energy. Who cares?
That's a better one.
You don't have to, but that's the whole, I want to play My Heart Goes On by Celine Dion. It becomes a thing. It's funny. It's part of personality.
Oh,
the crowd's already amped up. I just scored a big goal. I don't need music to add to it. The music just becomes, it becomes part of the story, part of the fabric of the moment.
I think in most cases it works, but I think there are certain songs where you would be disappointed.
You cannot limit my choices. You can't. Don't rain on my parade.
I do like the idea as a whole. I just think that song selection would be super important.
You've had 3 minutes.
I know, but I've been too busy debating with you that I haven't really thought. What would yours be?
Don't turn it on me. I've asked you.
I'm just going to say the first song that came to my head, and I don't know why this is the song that came to my head. It's getting hot in here. Nelly.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Well, you know what happened? Every 10-year-old boy in the crowd would then take a shirt off and go with a wrestling shirt over the head, and it would be a thing, because it's, let's take off.
Honestly don't know why that song is what came into my head.
And you're in the St. Lunatics kind of mode with Nelly.
You can find me in St. Louis. St. Lunatics song
cheek
or Nelly song.
Off you
I don't
go.
Know.
Yeah, so there you go.
A true story, I have worn a Band-Aid on my cheek before.
Oh, dear.
When I went to a Nelly concert, I got pulled up on stage.
Oh, no. You did? Is there video of that somewhere?
Oh, yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Could we Google Jackie Redmond Nelly concert?
Listen, somebody there took it and put it up there. He made me dance. I danced on stage at a Nelly concert.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Now we are 100% watching this post-show.
I have it on my phone.
I'm 100% going to watch
it. You know what's crazy?
The show.
When I auditioned at NHL Network, they brought me in for the audition, whatever. I had all these segments that I had to do. And at the end of the final segment, I was with EJ Raddick and maybe Jameson Coyle. I can't remember who the third person was. Sorry. And when you're auditioning, you're nervous. There's a lot going on.
You sure it wasn't me?
I don't think it was.
No, it wasn't me.
I'm like,
yeah, awkward.
Anyways, I think it was J-Mo.
Yeah.
Anyways, they're pretending like we're wrapping up the show. And then I think it was J-Mo. He's going to come to me like, that wasn't me, dude. Anyways. Yeah. He's like, we have a couple more things to go through, actually. Let's check in on social media. And they had gone through my social media and found, Instagram videos of me, singing with coworkers and just, embarrassing things.
Right.
And in that moment, and I truly believe this might be what got me the job, was this quick thinking. Wow, you guys found all this embarrassing stuff and yet somehow didn't find the footage of me on stage at a Nelly concert. Wow.
There you go.
It's like, what is this research department?
Own them. Put them on blast.
So
I like it.
It does right. Unfortunately exist. But people thought it was staged. It was in London, Ontario.
Yes.
During the summertime, in 2015, 2016.
Oh, so recently.
Now, this was 5 years ago.
I thought she was a kid.
No.
Oh, my gosh. I thought 15 years ago when the song came out.
No,
so I'm she's in high school.
This
it's a fun
is
night.
I was working at Sportsnet.
So I'm okay with you getting up there and dancing and having a good time. That all makes sense to me.
Oh, I can't believe I brought this up.
I can't believe you wore a Band-Aid 4 years ago. That's the more distressing part.
Well, it was just a little white.
No, I know what it is.
Yeah, it wasn't a full
on. But you got fully in character for a Nelly concert 4 years ago?
It was funny to me. Just My Heart Will Go On as a goal song is funny to you.
Fair enough.
Anyways, it was
not that I would choose
ridiculous, but I will say this. It's all the embarrassment that I suffer, because every once in a while someone tweets me and is like, did I just see a video of you on YouTube on stage? And I was like, yes, you did. It was a really cool experience. Look out and see the whole crowd. And then he had brought up four different people up on stage and then bring us all out at the very end of we got to watch the rest of the concert from the side of the stage and then go back out at the end for the final song and look out and see a whole huge crowd of people. I was like, man, being a rock star would
Pretty
be
cool.
so cool. So it was a good experience. The footage is embarrassing. You made me dance, and I was like, well, if I'm up here, I'm going to have to go all out. So
that's right. There's no half-stepping.
The best part, though, and I don't even remember what song it was, but he was rapping, doing his thing, and tried to come over and dance with me. And I totally was like, this is my Rihanna moment. I gave him the hand, walked around. True story.
Don't get in my way,
That's not the video that got posted on YouTube, but that's...
All right.
Anyway, it's a different story for a different day. I got to think of a better goal song. What would yours be?
Well, I would go probably some old school rap music, Tribe Called Quest, kind of kick it or something like that.
Okay.
Something like that.
I respect that.
I wouldn't want to be safe until a Pearl Jam song or the Tragedy Hip song.
No.
Maybe Jay-Z Big Pimpin', but I'm not sure if that'd be right for the kids.
Ooh.
So I'd go probably older school than that.
Daddy, what's pimpin'? That's a conversation for another day, son.
Good thing he doesn't score very often.
You would definitely have to choose stuff that you think the fan base would really like have fun with, I think.
No, but I think you want to choose something that says, so whether you, if you love country music, I don't know, whatever, something that shows some of your personality, and whether the, if the crowd doesn't know it, the whole thing is they get to know the song and they get to know something about you. That's the whole point about it. Then you come into the dress room and then you're like, okay, why that song? Why? Okay, you grew up here. You like that. Your uncle sang this. You know, it's a little piece of you that you're sharing with the fans. It becomes a thing. There's a little book. I got my CD liner was all set with little stories behind it all. I had a whole plan together.
Yeah.
I just didn't work for a team in marketing at that
point. The thing is, though, you open this door, and now you open the door for, like, being made fun of for your song choice, too.
Sure.
But that's all part of it. It's fun.
That's cool.
I like it. I'm interested.
You've been around. You've heard players, hockey players talk to each other.
Yes.
You've been around the rink enough to know getting made fun of for your song choice is the least of our concerns.
Yeah,
like, we
fair.
Take it about everything all the time, all day long, from our own teammates, let alone the opposition. So someone saying, hey, that's a silly country song, that's in more colorful language, you don't care.
In more colorful. They don't say silly in the locker room?
Depends.
Dressing room,
Mark
whatever.
Scheifele never swears.
That's true. I loved that piece last
Shane
year.
Shane Doan never swears.
One of my favorite pieces was the Scheifele. I believe it was on Hockey Night.
I still say, occasionally, I'll say frick.
Yeah. My mom considers that a swear word, by the way.
Okay. Sorry, Mama Redmond. I didn't mean it.
That's She's a classy lady.
That's what Shane used to say.
I clearly take after my father.
Or fudge. Yeah. Yeah. In that sense. He would say, fudge.
Right.
Instead of the other option. And so there are some guys. And Mark Scheifele does
I like that. Not easy to do in a professional sport, I wouldn't think.
Oh, my God.
I'm curious to get today's guest's thoughts on the goal song idea, because we're about to be joined by the lead singer of OAR, Mark Roberge. Mark, how's it going? How you doing, man? What's up?
I'm doing great. I love you. Pronounce my name right and everything.
Awesome. Perfect.
You know, I practiced like 10 times before the show started.
Well, I knew it in the hockey world, you know, Roberge was definitely going to be pronounced correctly, which I love. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, exactly. That's easy in terms of the hockey scale. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, Johnny and I were just talking about the San Jose Sharks. They're implementing this new thing where they're going to give their players specific personalized goal songs when they score a goal. I assume you are all over that and in favor of the movement.
Wow, that is forward thinking. I love that. That's kind of like the batters, you know, in baseball, they got their walk-up song.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, look, I love the celebration. I'm a huge live hockey fan. I love, you know, being in the arena. I love the different, you know, arenas have different traditions. You know, Columbus, you get the cannon. New York is just like, it's exciting, great song, right? And we all cheer. But, wow, this is, I never even thought about this. This is great. I wonder who they have to clear it with, how that's going to work.
There's going to be a process, for sure.
The musician in him is like, hang on, legally, now, if they want to use that song, how is that going to work? Okay, so let's just say they all get cleared. And we couldn't choose one of your band's songs. So what kind of song would you choose for your goal song if you can't choose one of your own?
Good question.
Oh, man, what a great question. God, I love that. Okay, what would I... Wow, you caught me off guard.
Now, the Toronto Maple Leafs song is a Hall & Oates song when they score, which is almost comical. But
yeah, sorry for it. I mean, we all love Hall & Oates.
Yeah,
but
no, it's great, talented. Not a player was alive when they were super popular. So
that's what I'm saying. You know what? I guess. God, that's a great question. You want instantly, you're like,
listen, what? Mike Johnson did this to me earlier in the show, put me on the spot. I should have known it was coming. I didn't. And I just said the first song that came to my head, and it was Hot in Here by Nelly, which is super embarrassing.
Yeah. So there's no wrong answer.
So listen,
the
you're
of
not
the barrel
gonna embarrass
has
yourself.
Already been hit.
I have set the bar super low.
That's really funny. I probably any Wu-Tang song would be good for me.
Wu-Tang.
Just to kind of set the mood and let them know why I'm there and I mean business.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it would be something that I want people to go home and remember, even if they never heard it before. So I'd say a couple of different Wu-Tang songs would be good.
Ooh, I love that.
You know what?
I love that.
That was well worth the wait. You salvaged it.
See, you got to give people time to like think it through.
I like it.
Listen, you guys are performing a free concert Friday night ahead of the All-Star Skills competition. You guys, it's not, obviously not the first time you're going to be performing for a crowd, but what makes this special for you guys specifically?
All right, so for me, I'm a big hockey fan. I love hockey. I grew up in D.C. My dad had us on the glass as kids. you know, always at the Cap Center for years and years and years. Then I moved to New York about 20 years ago, and I'm an avid Rangers fan. And I love being around the culture of hockey. I love being around hockey players, hockey coaches, anybody who's kind of living that life, hockey parents, doing it out there in New York, all over the place. I just like being around folks in that world because there's something about the whole journey of a hockey player that just inspires me. I mean, I can relate to being on the road to the professional hockey player. Mm-hmm. I can relate to that life so closely, but I can respect it a lot more because of what it takes to get there. Like, I know what these folks have gone through and worked so hard to live their dream that I just really like the hockey culture. I think it's got a lot of grit. It's got a lot of hard work, and that's what we are as a band. We came up from the basement. Our first show is the 8th grade talent show. We've worked our way into this job, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like we're playing at that level because we work to get there, and we really, really appreciate it, right? So when we're standing on a stage playing a party for the All-Star Game, some people might walk by and go, oh, cool, yeah, you know, a band playing a couple songs. But for us, we just feel accomplished, you know, like we have worked. And so when we see those parallels, you're around the culture, you're around the excitement. It's a night celebrating hockey, which is important, and celebrating the players, which I think is always important because of what they represent. So I'm all in.
Now, as a former player, like, I was always just playing the game. I never once took a moment, like almost never once, took a moment to step back and say, I'm playing at Madison Square Garden. Isn't this amazing? As a performer, do you ever have a moment on stage or before you go on stage when you look out, you're like, God, this is pretty cool. For all the work you put in, have a moment of reflection and appreciation for where you are and what you've accomplished, even though you're kind of in the moment of doing your craft.
I mean, dude, it was actually at Madison Square Garden, so I'm there. We were filming a movie. We had been there. I think it was the third time we played there, second or third time, and we were making a movie about it because of just the road to get there for us was just something that we wanted to document. So during that show, I asked that I could just have a moment in front of everybody, and I just stopped what I was doing. And even now, I mean, I'm not choked up, but I'm kind of just thinking about, wow, yeah. I looked around that room. I saw all my relatives, all my friends, and then, you know, 18,000 people. And it was like, okay. And I did take it in, and I wanted to remember it. And it was at that place because and ever since when I go there, I mean, I remember every picture in the hallway they have.
Yes,
I remember, you know,
Tina
everyone
Turner,
who works
John Bon Jovi,
yes.
John McEnroe.
Yeah,
I know it.
You know that hallway, yes. Man. So you know you're among all these folks who worked hard. That's the thing about professional hockey and all hockey. It's like even getting dressed to go for practice is work. So every part about it requires you to grind, and I love that. I just think it's really cool. So at the Garden specifically, you're walking through that hallway and you see Jay-Z on the wall. You see all these folks on the wall that worked. So yeah, that was my moment.
Well, I'm sure another moment that you remember very well was the Washington Capitals winning the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago. Alex Ovechkin's first Stanley Cup. Where were you when the Capitals won the cup, and how did you celebrate? Because we all know how the team celebrated.
Big.
Right. That's exactly what I was going to talk about. We were on the road. which is normally where we are when things happen. So we were watching, and a lot of the guys in the band are obviously from D.C. as well, and we get to know these folks. So we see them celebrating like that. And look, the way they celebrated, you know, in the middle of a fountain, laying down, flopping around.
Epic. Iconic, really.
Iconic, and that's how you want people to celebrate. You want people to, like, be appreciative, because nothing bothers me more than someone who gets up on the stage to collect some award, and it's just not important to them. Which, look, awards shouldn't be important. My point is that they work hard to get there, celebrate hard. Do it for us. So watching that was huge. I think everyone, even not in the hockey world, appreciated that honest. let's call it like honest partying.
Honest joy, really, what it was.
Yeah.
Unadulterated joy.
That was just living in the moment.
Years of
they were. You talk about embracing the moment and living it. Yeah. Like, the Capitals did that when they won the cup.
And anyone who does it after is only going to be doing it like they did it, right? So they got to find another way.
All right, now you're going to be playing in St. Louis. It's apparently supposed to be a little bit brisk out there. Now, it's a hockey thing. We love the cold weather for hockey. Have you played outside in the cold before? And is that at all challenging for you guys, whether it's your fingers being warm or your vocal cords being warm or whatever, to play in what will be around, you know, freezing 32 degrees?
I mean, for us, it's just, we've done colder.
Yeah, what's the coldest you've been? What's the coldest you've done?
We were at Okemo Mountain once playing with a bunch of friends, and we're actually doing one this weekend, but a lot of the different bands get together and do cover songs and just have these super fun groups. And
oh, that sounds awesome.
There.
That
yeah,
sounds
it
so
was
cool.
Single digits. And I also remember being on a mountain out west for a ski championship, and that was about single digits. Lindsey Vonn came out and played tambourine for us. It was killer.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah. How was she?
And she was not shivering at all. I don't even think she had a jacket on. She was cool as ice.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's her comfort zone
there
right there.
Go.
You mentioned, you live a similar lifestyle to professional hockey players. You're on the road. I'm sure you've engaged with some professional hockey players, the Capitals, I'm sure some of them you're familiar with. Who's the coolest hockey player that you've had a beer with?
Yeah, I mean, I got to give love. My favorite, and there's a whole group of them that I love to hang with. My favorite hockey player, Tanner Glass, is like my favorite hockey player
Tanner
of all
Glass.
Time.
Okay.
Yeah, Glasser's the man.
Did you meet him in New York?
Yeah, in New York and Nasher and all that. That whole crew was just awesome. And I love to hear the stories, love to talk about the life. We always end up just talking about family life because that's really what it is. So
yeah.
Honestly, and anybody in the league really seems like every time I have a beer, every time we have a beer, we just, cool.
I don't know. It's just cool, laid back.
Like, it's a laid back sports culture. It's everyone in professional sports, really just there in the moment. I don't know. Something about it just seems real familiar. So it's hard to rank any of that beer having because they all taste really good.
Be ready for this weekend. You're going to the All-Star game. You got to bring your All-Star beer drinking attitude because there'll be lots of people trying to track you down after your performance and around what you're at this weekend. So if there's one guy you want to meet that's an All-Star now, who might that be?
I've always – and probably mostly recently really, really started to appreciate watching Connor McDavid play.
Yes.
The speed, everything about it, right? It's amazing. I wouldn't mind just being in the just saying, hey, just seeing what kind of person this guy is, because player-wise, it's something to be just – it's amazing. And also, I'd love to crack a beer with Oshie. I think that would be fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oshie will be well received there. Used to play in St. Louis, going back there for the All-Star.
That'll be a
big weekend for him.
Big weekend.
It's a good weekend for the city, too. I mean, I think they're hyped up, and a lot of folks are going to be making the trip, right, to celebrate there and everything. So that's always a good look when you got a city who actually knows how to celebrate and they have something to celebrate, right? So I think it's really exciting to be there. And it'll just, I don't know, seems like a big party to me.
How many songs? Like, what's your set look like? I know you probably have a time limitation. Like, how many songs? How do you guys pick what you go with in a situation like this?
Yeah, exactly. We do have a time limit, which is something you always got to work within. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to kick it off with about four or five of our older, more, I guess, just like, what's it called? People recognize these things from back in the day. Four or five of those. And then we'll do some of the more current stuff. And then we'll end it with That Was a Crazy Game of Poker, which is a song that I think a lot of people, if they know us.
They know that one.
They and if they don't even know us, they'll probably recognize at some point in college they ran across that song. And it turns into a little bit of a party. Everyone warms up. So, yeah, we're just going to kind of try to hit them with things they know and keep the party alive. Our job is to get people hyped up. For the skills competition, we're not there to. It's not about us. It's about the whole celebration. So we're going to do that.
Well, I like the plan.
And
for hockey fans in St. Louis or that are heading to St. Louis and want to see this concert, it is a free concert. It's Friday night ahead of the All-Star competition. Thank you for your time.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. We're going to be at the concert.
Louis. Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll see you in St. Louis. Maybe we'll have a beer. Who knows?
Come say hi for sure, because we will be there, and we will be waiting, hanging out, whatever. Come say hello. Thank you so much for the time.
All right. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, Mark Robert, gonna have to hit up that free concert Friday.
There.
I would think so. That's yeah. I love the events around not just All-Star, but even the Stanley Cup final. There's always free concerts and stuff going on around the city.
Even if you can't get in the rink, there's a ton to do outside it that you can access as a fan.
Oh, big time. You got to take it in if it's in your city, even if you're just a average sports fan, you know. But it's going to be a fun weekend. But it always, for me, even though it's not the official halfway point of the season,
it sort of feels that way.
And we had a player poll come out in The Athletic recently. Mm-hmm. So this is player-voted stuff. And the best player voted, 63% of the players that were polled voted Connor McDavid.
Yes.
Okay, fair.
He's
very good.
Yes. Surprising it wasn't higher.
The second player, I believe, was Nathan MacKinnon.
Mm-hmm.
And then Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about this?
I think players are voting based on who's got the most offensive game right now.
Okay.
So that doesn't necessarily entail best player and, you know, intangibles and defensive game and penalty killing and playoff although Nathan McKinnon's been a beast in the playoffs when he's been in there. I think it's just offensive game, and I think, okay. I think Nathan MacKinnon is as dynamic an offensive player, not named McDavid, as there is in the league.
Yeah.
So, I love reading that player poll, because like 400 players participated. It's a good...
It's a lot. That's over half the league.
Your math is on point today.
I know
it is sharp.
I know my stuff. I almost said a different word there.
Exactly. So, but I think for a lot of the categories, a lot of it's reputational.
Right.
Because it's kind of, they associate, whether it's Carey Price being the best goalie or Shea Weber being the second best defenseman, not to pick on the Montreal guys, but just, you know, are they really that now? Probably not in Shea Weber's case, but they're still very good.
Right.
But it's about reputation. This one, I think, is probably pretty accurate. I think it's fair to say Connor McDavid is 100%
number one,
the best player in the league. And I think Nathan MacKinnon is probably the second best offensive player in the league right now. And then Sid falls wherever you put Sid. Jack Eichel could be right there as well.
If we're talking right now, this season, what's going on?
Best offensive player in the league. And, you know, Sidney Crosby's missed 28 games with his hernia stuff.
Yeah.
So coming back with a bang.
I was going to say, he came back like he missed no time at all.
But I understand where they're coming from. And I it's a rare pull that I'm like, okay, that seems like reasonable answers.
By the way, I love the way the goalie question was phrased. Goalie you want, aside from your own.
Right.
It's like a very...
Yes. Cop out.
Nice way of phrasing the question. But Carey Price wins there, but only with 33% of the votes.
Well, because his form hasn't
been
what it was. And so you're wondering, Carey Price, I think he's only played in three game sevens. He's not won them all. But he's played for Canada in the Olympics, and he never gets scored on in those tournaments. But is that Carey being great? It is. But that's also that team being great. So how much credit do you give him? That one feels like if you're playing today.
Yeah.
Today. Who do you want in Game 7? Beyond the nerves of being in Game 7, which maybe Carey Price or Pekka Rinne would help because they've been there. Like, don't you want Darcy Kemper, Ben Bishop?
If he's healthy, yeah.
Don't you want Tristan Jarry?
Jordan Binnington?
Like,
don't you want those guys?
I mean, but like, who's been better in the last 6 weeks, 2 months?
Yeah.
Not in their careers, but
today.
But
right now.
I think I want, you know, whatever. Binnington, Jarry, Bishop, one of those guys.
Ooh, Jarry, Jarry's a good pick too. So, it's been good.
But I don't know if the players put that much thought into it.
I do enjoy that they asked player to drink a beer with,
mm-hmm.
and Alex Ovechkin wins that. 14% of the vote. So not doesn't win by an
overwhelming
vote.
You don't want to sit out for there. Now, it's Ovi because he's the personality. He'd be fun. You'd get into any bar you want because you're with Ovi.
See, for me, I would have been like, forget the players, Tortorella. Like, I want to have a beer with Torts.
Yeah, I've had a beer with Torts before when he was coaching Tampa. He's a good guy to talk to. But the one guy on that list, I think he came fourth or fifth, and this speaks to the strength of his personality.
Who?
Keith Yandle.
Wow.
Now,
Keith Yandle's been in studio before. He's great.
Yeah, but he's not a super duper star. He never misses a game for decades at a time. But he's not Ovi.
No, he's not Ovi.
He's not Sid.
He's also not showy. Like, he's not a guy that's
already around the league, enough people know he might be the funniest cat in the entire league that you want to have a beer for him. So I'm shouting out Jens for making it on the list, despite not being a superstar game-wise, like some
of
the other guys
were. And also, like, I would say, too, personality-wise, like, he's not out there, like...
No. But when you listen to him talk,
he's great.
It's hilarious.
So
I'd like to have a beer with Keith Yandle.
Yeah, me too. We had the Panthers here, and they did a home run derby in Studio 42. And he was, they were all really funny, but he was funny too.
So I like that he appeared on that most likely to have, or most wanted to have a beer with.
All right. Player polls are interesting because they can just be honest and it's anonymous, right?
Yeah, but I say this before, like the players... We don't like to think too much. So you get a 20-question player
Can
poll.
Can you put that on a T-shirt, someone?
Yes.
Us players, we don't like to think too much.
Yes. I need to be, like, more broken English then.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know, like, it is reflective of the group because they all voted, but I don't know if this is their absolute most seriously thought through
opinion.
Who's the best? Who's the most underrated player? Barkov's not underrated anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay?
Huberto.
We know he's one of the best players in the world. Just because everyone says he's underrated, that doesn't make him underrated. That effectively makes him not underrated.
Yeah.
Almost makes him overrated, if you could say such a thing. So just because they hear a narrative, so they fire it off because it's an easy answer. Because
we
don't like to think too much. Back says, we'll take the easy answer. And so some of these ones, I don't know how much stock, because Barkov is no longer underrated.
I agree with you there, big time. And even like Huberto, right? The first half of the season, that became the new, he's underrated, Jonathan Huberto.
Right. Yeah, I think he had 92 points last year.
But he did. But that was like the quietest 92-point season ever. Like nobody talked about it. But this year, he's the new guy that everyone's saying is underrated. And now I'm almost teetering on, well, I think people are aware of Huberto now. So it is interesting. I mean, it's just all perspective, right? So it's interesting. Okay. One more thing before we wrap the show and head off to St. Louis. Second half, unofficial second half of the season following the All-Star break. What do you have a big, bold prediction? Oh, you do?
I do.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
What is your big, bold second half prediction?
Nashville Predators going on a run.
Really?
Going on a run, charging up, comfortably making the playoffs.
Comfortably making the playoffs.
Comfortably.
Why? You think they're going to get better goaltending?
Yes.
Okay.
And their roster's too good.
They have underperformed.
The new coach will maybe work some things through, and what they have is games in hand. So they have a whole bunch of points to make up, five or six, but they have five games in hand on some teams. Five!
Wow.
So even if they play their slightly over 500 pace they've played so far, that's going to be 6 out of 10 points. That's going to put them at the playoff line now. They're better than that, bold prediction. Nashville makes the playoffs. They're not sweating it the last 10 days.
Okay, here's my bold prediction.
What do you got?
Henrik Lundqvist is going to waive his no movement clause.
Bum, bum, bum.
This might just be what I want to happen, so I'm putting it out into the universe.
Yeah, but if it works, man, but we're going to re-rack this over and over.
I am going to.
Are you going to tell me where he's going? I mean, Colorado's
the logical choice because of their cap situation. They're one of the few teams that
and
could actually afford
him. That could use a goalie.
And it's a place he would want to go. I mean, he's no disrespect. He's not waving to go to like Detroit.
As a market or as a team?
As a team, there's not. He wants to win.
I thought you were marking the market of Detroit.
No.
I'm like, whoa, Jackie.
No, that is a bold
prediction.
I just
Hockey
mean,
town.
If
yes.
if
yeah, he
if,
wants to go. He's not going anywhere to lose.
He's going to win a cup.
Yes.
So he's
going
to go somewhere where he has a chance to do that. So Colorado could be a place.
He can call Ray Bourque, see what it's like to get traded to Colorado late in your career, and go win a cup.
Get some
see
info.
How it works out.
Get some background on the situation. But I've said it a million times. I just think he's in a situation where he could do it and. He's not going to get, like, John Tavares. He's going to be supported.
It wouldn't hurt his legacy in New York.
Not at all.
And and that's how great he's been and how loyal he's been and how respected he is by the organization and fans. Because you can't say that. Any player that would waive a no trade to go somewhere else would almost always take a hit just because they're leaving.
Yeah.
I don't think he would at all. I think you would have all of a sudden every New York Ranger fan would become a fan of the Colorado Avalanche cheering for Henrik Lundqvist to go do something special.
I think the majority of hockey fans, not even just Rangers fans, would be like, good for him. Like,
well,
I'd love
everything.
To see him chase
he's,
it.
He's one. It all started back when he beat me in the finals of the 04 Swedish Championship.
And we're back.
And I knew right then he was good.
The thing is, and this is why I keep coming back to this, because it's just permeating my brain constantly. There's two things that I have heard more than anything else about Henrik Lundqvist. One, his loyalty to the Rangers till the end. But the other is that he is the most competitive person that a lot of people in hockey have ever been around.
Those are at conflict right now.
Those are at conflict. What wins out in the end? To me, you start this journey because you want to win a Stanley Cup. So in the end, I think whether it's this year or next year or maybe after that.
If you're going to go... Go
do it
now.
Yes.
You're better. You
I
give
agree.
Yourself two cracks at it because you have 1 year in his contract.
You kind of give the Rangers a bit of a gift
help
so.
Help with the franchise you love anyways.
You're going to get something back and you're going to open up cap room. So everybody wins. Do it, Hank. All right. I'll see you in St. Louis.
Yes.
We'll see you guys in St. Louis. If you're watching the coverage, you can catch us on NHL Network. If not, we will see you next week for the next episode of Puck Culture. Enjoy All-Star or your mojitos or whatever you're doing. We'll see you
or
later.
Both.
Guilty.